So I'm just going to preach long enough for you to get the experience. Once that happens, man, I'm looking for something to eat. But I'm telling you, if you have a desire to experience the power of God on a greater level, you can get it. The Word of God is that real, that powerful today. Luke chapter 3, we're going to see one aspect of the mission of Jesus Christ when he walked on this earth, and this aspect is very essential to you getting everything God has for you, not just today, but every day you serve him. John answered and said unto them all these people that are curious about the Messiah, we know him as Jesus. John answered and said unto all of them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Years ago, when we were having the grand opening of this building, Mayor Alan Joynes stood right behind this pulpit, and he quoted this verse that Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, Mayor Joynes is not a one God apostolic tongue talking Holy Ghost heaven bound, but I'm getting too old. I can't remember all that. I'm just saying him and I are different on many levels, but he believes that this verse is in the Bible and this verse is real, and it speaks of something that God is able to do for anybody. So if the mayor, who's not even Pentecostal, can be excited about Jesus baptizing us with the Holy Ghost and fire, pardon me and pardon us if we get a little bit carried away today when we tell you Jesus is here and his Spirit is real and his power can make a difference. Whoa, we're going to experience it today. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to pour out his Spirit as I preach for a little bit from this thought, freedom and fireworks. Freedom and fireworks. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. By the authority of the Word of God and by the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ, we declare an outpouring of the Holy Ghost and fire today that will bring healing and blessing and deliverance and victory in Jesus' name. Oh, would you clap your hands one more time and shout unto God. Praise God. You may be seated. It seems like in our country, freedom and fireworks go together. Now, I know fireworks have been around a whole lot longer than this nation and certainly than our struggle for independence. But I think you would agree that since the early days of our freedom as a nation, freedom and fireworks have been celebrated together. Amen? So freedom and fireworks go together like, I don't know, peanut butter and jelly. Freedom and fireworks goes together like, maybe some of y'all like this better, biscuits and gravy. Freedom and fireworks go together like hamburgers and hot dogs. I better stop thinking about all this food. Freedom and fireworks goes together like salt and pepper and pancakes and syrup and bread and butter. We are distracted, but let's just be honest. There's some things that just go together. And let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost and fire goes together. You can't say you have the Spirit of God and not expect the fire to be somewhere in your life. Because Jesus came to baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. And freedom and fireworks go together on such a degree, on such a level, if you will, that the saving mission of Jesus Christ comes along with it. The essentiality of us being baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I want to say today that the Holy Ghost and fire is God's answer for the need of every human being as much today as it was when Jesus walked on this earth. And there are several quotes that I'll escape today to save time. But on this weekend that we celebrate our nation's freedom, we acknowledge that there is a yearning in the soul of every person to be free. And I want to say today that if you could peel away the distractions and peel away the cares of this life, you would discover that the real solution for every person's situation is the freedom that Jesus Christ will give to any person that is baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. John chapter 8, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He goes on to say in verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus spoke again. It's recorded in the book of Luke. They brought him the word of the prophet Isaiah. He opened and he began to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." I thank God today for every single Christian that has accepted the Lord as their Savior. But I want to speak to this crowd that perhaps I can influence just a little bit. If you've got salvation but you don't have freedom, you need the Holy Ghost and fire. If you've got Christianity but you haven't been set free, you need the Holy Ghost and fire, because freedom works and fire works every time it's tried. For every soul that will say today, "I want more than religion, I want more than Christianity, I want more than church, I want the power of the Spirit of God to set me free." Oh, would you clap your hands with me today? Jesus Christ still sets the captive free. And we all cleaned up today, and we all, y'all look awesome. I'm doing my best. But people ought to know the rest of the story. They ought to know the bondage that some of these men and women and others around you have been through to get where they are right now. And I want to confess, it wasn't church that set us free. It wasn't even being Pentecostal that set us free. It was the Holy Ghost and fire, because freedom and fire works. And certainly, even beyond the political realm and even beyond the human yearning, most people truly value freedom, even in a spiritual sense. People love the idea of liberty that comes from knowing and serving Jesus Christ. I don't think even in places where they might push away this idea of the Holy Ghost and fire, they still celebrate that Jesus can set the captive free. But what I want to identify for you today that I believe is very important, it's this, that freedom comes with fire because freedom and fire works. In other words, it's not just enough to know the Bible. It's not even just enough to know Jesus. He said, I am come that you would be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, because there is an essential ingredient to our liberty in the Spirit that demands of us to be loosed in the Holy Ghost. That makes you a little nervous, don't it? How loose are we going to get today, Pastor? Well, nobody's going to make you do anything you don't want to do. And as I preached last week about crying out to Jesus, please don't misunderstand. I did not attempt to minimize all the other ways you could pray in terms of listening, talking, even whispering to God. And so even today, there may be some of you that are a little bit slow to just let God have his way. I'm not minimizing the value of your current relationship with the Lord, but I think it's important that you realize that if Jesus Christ came to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, there needs to be something yearning in your spirit that says, hey, I'd like some of that fire. I'd like some of that Holy Ghost. I'd like a level of freedom that can only come when the Spirit of God is given free reign in our lives. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
You're already getting loose. You shouted amen, and before you knew it, you're like, whoa, that was kind of loud. Freedom and fire works. Jesus Christ said to his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That tremendous promise gave so much hope and confidence to disciples that had become a little bit spoiled. They had the privilege of Jesus being with them. Thank you. But Jesus gave them a promise. Right now, I am with you. But there is another level of anointing. There is another level of freedom. There is another level of fire where I'm not just with you, but I shall be in you. Woo! And the Apostle Paul described it this way: now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Oh, I wish somebody would hear me today. The atmosphere is perfect in Heaven View today for anybody to say, I want the Spirit of the Lord to be in me. I want the Spirit of the Lord to fill me. I want the Spirit of the Lord to set me free, because freedom and fire still works. Praise God. So over and over again, you read of the promise of the Father, and you read of the promise of the Holy Spirit, and you read that what Jesus came to do was actually fulfilled. There came a day when people were literally baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Let's read about it in Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, That's where we get the name of our church from. We're Pentecostals because we cling to this experience. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. All of the disciples and Mary, the mother of Jesus, 120 believers all together. I'm not just making that up. You'll find this in Acts chapter 1. I'm just trying to save time. But they're all worshiping and praying. They've been sitting in an upper room for 10 days waiting for the promise of the Holy Ghost and fire. And the scripture says in verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They literally began to speak languages that did not come from their own knowledge or understanding, but God, by His Spirit, gave them the ability to speak in other tongues. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. And if you would rewind the tape just a little bit, these are the same disciples that were running and hiding whenever Jesus died. These are the same disciples that thought their hopes and fears, all of that was just one big confusing mess because Jesus was gone. He ascended up into heaven. What do we do now? You know what changed their attitude from fear to faith? It was the Holy Ghost and fire. It was the liberty that came when the Spirit of God drove away every doubt, every confusion, every fear. And that same Spirit is here today because freedom and fire works. If you've got depression, this is your day to be set free. If you've got fear, this is your service to be set free, because freedom and fire works. I wonder if everybody that's got the Holy Ghost right where you're seated, if you would just begin to pray in the Spirit right now, because the Bible says we don't always know how to pray, but when we pray in the Spirit maketh intercession for us. I need the Holy Ghost to intercede for us, because in this place, Jesus wants to set somebody free. In this service, Jesus wants to set somebody free. Thank you for helping me. I know that some might dispute this, but I believe there is enough evidence in Scripture to validate this one simple point. The Holy Ghost and fire is still God's answer for every need of every person that's here today and stretching beyond these walls. The need of humanity, just like this nation on this particular weekend, we recognize that it is the yearning for freedom that is the most powerful force in human history. But spiritually speaking, it is just the same. Sooner or later, a form of godliness is not enough. Sooner or later, a little bit of religion doesn't satisfy. Sooner or later, even being a Christian or a Pentecostal will get old and cold. But if you ever get baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, and you keep that fire burning, I'm here to tell you, it will be enough for every storm. It will be enough for every trial. It will be enough for every difficulty. The answer for you and I is the Holy Ghost and fire. The answer for your family is the Holy Ghost and fire. The answer for your children is the Holy Ghost and fire. God's remedy for every generation, it's freedom and fire. And it works. It works. Every time it's tried, it works. Oh, would you clap your hands? And would you shout with your voice? Now, I don't mean this to sound like a disclaimer, but I feel like I need to clarify that when the Holy Ghost is poured out, or when the Holy Ghost is stirred up, it's wild. It's wonderful, but it's wild. But what gets people past the wild part? It works. It works. Some people never get past the wild, so they don't know how wonderful it is. But if you ever get past that part where you're scratching your head and saying, what's wrong with these people? It's freedom. It's fire. And it works. It's liberty that only can come when you and I yield to the Spirit of God. But to help you understand this, and I know it's a little bit tedious, but look back at Acts chapter 2. As the Holy Ghost was being poured out and people were speaking in tongues, look at the response of those that were not filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse number 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? What is going on here? The next verse says, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. And that's King James Version for people said, man, all this Holy Ghost and all these speaking in tongues, these people look like they're drunk. They look like they're crazy. I just want to go on record as saying that I'm so thankful that I'm a part of a church where there have been people that have walked in and walked out and said, there's something strange going on there. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they've been smoking, but I tell you what it is. Jesus said he would baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire and freedom, and fire still works, and it still makes people scratch their head, and it still makes people wonder what's going on. And sure enough, it still makes people think we're drunk. Hey, don't be embarrassed if every now and then your wife's got to say, what happened to you today, honey? I tell you what happened to me. I got the Holy Ghost all over again. I was filled to overflowing. I stirred up the gift. Praise God. But Peter explains, verse number 14, he stands up with the 11 other apostles. He lifts up his voice. He says unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken or listen to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Come on, fellas. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. If we were even going to get drunk, we'd wait till the party's in the evening. This is not about alcohol, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Be advised, if you're ever in a service where people are worshiping God and getting a little crazy, they got no right to hurt you. They got no right to make you do something that you don't want to do. But don't just make fun. It's very possible that God is in the process of baptizing those people with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Because it's freedom and it's fire and it still works. But the first time and the next time that the Spirit of God is poured out, let us be at least aware that there are some people that want the freedom, but they don't want the fireworks. They want Jesus. They want His Spirit. They want liberty. I don't know about that drunk stuff. I don't know about that crazy stuff. That's how it was the first time. That's how it is today. That's how it'll be until Jesus comes. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Set me free, God. But go easy on those fireworks. I'm a little bashful. I'm a little bit intimidated. That's not my personality. So I want the freedom, but I don't want the fireworks. Now, God is so merciful that I know of people that have seen evidence of the Spirit of God working in their life, and I have observed the Spirit of God and the fruit of the Spirit in some people's lives, and I know they don't even believe in the fireworks. Some people think the fireworks is of the devil. Watch out for them tongue talkers. Some of you that felt it was of the devil, you're a tongue talker today. We know it's not of the devil because it's in the Bible. We also know that when they were speaking in tongues, they were bringing praise and glory to God. Now, the devil don't want to be anywhere near anybody that's bringing praise and glory to God. But we understand that there can be some people that want the Spirit of God, that love the Lord, but they don't want the fireworks. And this message today is not to debate or to argue or to push you away as though I am judging your experience with God. No, I am just informing you that the mission of Jesus Christ was to come and save, absolutely. To come and heal, absolutely. To come and cast out devils, absolutely. But He also promised that He would baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I've got to be honest with you. I am fully aware that there may be some under the sound of my voice that you are satisfied with your current experience with God, and nothing about this message is going to change that. I'm really not reaching for you right now. I'm reaching for someone that loves God so much, that believes in Jesus so much, that in your spirit there is a yearning. I want to be free. I've got religion, but I want to be free. I've served God a long time, but I want to be free. I'm tired of being intimidated. I'm tired of being afraid. And for you, I preach today, freedom and fire still works. Is there anybody with the Holy Ghost that can stand up and clap your hands and say, I used to be bound, but the Holy Ghost set me free. I used to be depressed, but the Holy Ghost set me free. I used to be afraid, but freedom and fire still works. I am not here to judge anybody that doesn't want anything to do with the Holy Ghost. That's between you and God. But let me tell you something. He came to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He allowed you to be in this service where you could speak in tongues along with everybody else and nobody would even look at you. Really? You could get filled with the Holy Ghost here today. You could be drunk on the Holy Ghost. People would say, oh, that's just another saint at Heaven View. That's how we roll. And so I'm not here to condemn anybody that you're saying, I'm sorry, Pastor, that your excitement up there is kind of intriguing, but this is not for me. I am just wanting you to know, and I believe the scripture bears this out, there is a place in God that you can only experience the true liberty that he has for you with the power of the Holy Ghost taking over your worship and taking over your prayer and taking over your faith. In fact, in Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul said it this way, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That verse gives us permission to compare our current experience with God with those that got drunk on Friday night and Saturday night. You know why some of them got drunk? They were so depressed and they were so lonely and they were so frustrated. They just said, I'm going to drink all my sorrows away. I'm going to drink all my setbacks away. And they got so drunk, they didn't care what you thought of them. They didn't care what you said about them. All they knew was that for a brief moment, they were free from the anguish and free from the heartache. The sad thing is, whenever they get sober, they'll still have all of the mess and even some more because of their addiction. But in this house today, there is a Savior that has promised you don't have to get drunk on that kind of wine. You can get drunk on the Holy Ghost, and freedom and fire will work for your marriage, work for your home, work for your family, work for your children. Freedom and fire works. I want to settle down. I want to shut her down. I might just fall down. Then you guys just sing a song and dismiss. I do want to say this, and I don't mean it to be disrespectful, but don't limit God to a library experience. You don't want me to judge you because you just clasp your hands and meditate upon the Lord. You don't want me to judge you because you have a deep, sincere devotion to God, even though it's very quiet and very reserved. You don't want me to judge you. I'm fine with that. I'm not going to judge you. But don't you judge us. Don't you condemn us. Don't you mock us and say, it's just emotionalism. It's just fanaticism. Be careful, because scripture after scripture has assured us there is an experience of God where, yeah, you might act kind of drunk, but as long as you're in the Bible, don't let anybody put you down. I'm here to tell you, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and anything less than that ought to put a yearning inside of you that says, I want more freedom. I want more fire. I want more freedom. I want more fire. I have a very good friendship right now with an individual whose walk with God I admire greatly. And he pastors what I consider a great church in this community. But he has never been filled with the Holy Ghost, never spoken with other tongues. And when we get together for coffee or for lunch, you know what he wants to talk about? He wants to talk about being Pentecostal. He wants to talk about the Holy Ghost. He wants to talk about speaking with tongues. You know why? Because while you clasp your hands and act like you've got enough of God, there are other people that are just as quiet as you are, but inside the deep part of their soul, God is stirring something up that says, my goodness, there's got to be more. I've got to have more. And I'm just saying, I'm not here to criticize the depth of your walk with God, but there needs to be something in your soul that says, I want freedom. I want fire. I want more of God. I want more of his power. I want, come on, Jesus said that if you receive the Holy Ghost, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There needs to be something inside of you that says, I love Jesus so much. I believe Jesus so much. I want the river. I want the river. Oh, would you clap your hands? I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Jeremiah was not filled with the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost was not yet given. The Bible teaches us that. But he was moved on by the Holy Ghost because holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's why I have friends that are pastors that don't have the Holy Ghost, but it's obvious God is moving on them. But Jeremiah wasn't even filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, as the Spirit of God began to move on me, Jeremiah said, I'm not going to make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. In other words, man, God's moving on me, but I'm just going to be here quiet. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to get all of God he has for me, but I'm not going to speak about it. This is personal. This is private. This is just me and God. That's fine for you, Pastor, but for me and God, it's a very quiet, personal experience. He said, but his word was in my heart. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. It was like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearing, and I just could not stay. In other words, the more I meditated, the more I was quietly contemplating, the more I was sincerely praying and seeking God in my own little way. I was careful not to go Pentecostal with it. I was careful not to get excited or maybe get out of control. Come on, this should be reverence, and we should be careful and honor the holiness of it all. But he said, it was like a fire shut up in my bones. It's as if Jesus Christ gave him a little bit a taste of what was going to happen every time New Testament believers were available and access to the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you can't help it. You got to shout. You got to dance. You got to worship. You got to run because it's fire. It's fire. It's the Holy Ghost and fire. Freedom and fire still works. Musicians, would you come? Just play softly. This world needs more than quiet contemplation right now. I'm not minimizing the value of this. We could use a lot of that, but we need more than that. We need more than just a form of godliness. And 2 Timothy chapter 1 promises us, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There are so many powerful spirits in our world right now. Spirits of fear. He said he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but there's spirits of fear, spirits of anger, spirits of lust, spirits of depression, spirits of pride, and the list goes on and on. If you are angry, you need to avail yourself of some anger management classes, but you also need to try freedom and fire because it still works. If you are addicted to lust, I beg you to try accountability. Confess, be transparent, let another brother or sister help you through. But I beg you, along with accountability, try freedom and fireworks. If your marriage is a mess and you have access to counseling, stop wearing a chip on your shoulder like you don't need counseling. Get all the help you can get. But please, Don't just rely on the counseling. Freedom and fire works. You hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you, there is enough Holy Ghost right now to heal a marriage. There's enough Holy Ghost right now to take away depression. There's enough Holy Ghost right now to take away that spirit of anger and fill you with the spirit of love and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Get all of the help you can get. Seek all of the answers you can find. But he promised to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And let's be honest. Sometimes a doctor says, I can't help you. Sometimes a therapist says, this is our last session. Sometimes you say, I've tried every solution. 12 years, I'm broke. That's when you got to realize freedom and fire still works. And you happen to be blessed to be in a church that in just a couple of minutes, when we all come to this altar, you will never come to this altar alone. You will never, ever come to this altar alone. You may be sitting somewhere and this is your first time here and you're thinking, my God, I need freedom. My God, I need fire. And you're thinking, well, I've been to churches and when the pastor gives the altar call, it's like just the dirty, rotten sinners come up. Let me tell you, in this church, we all need God. I wish I would have kept a recording. Somebody posted a video of the altar service from last Sunday, and it wasn't a huge crowd. It was a good crowd, but it wasn't a huge crowd. But just about everybody in the sanctuary was at this altar, and the roar of praise, the roar of crying out to God, it sounded like there were thousands here. Because this is one church that if you want the freedom and you want the fire, if you have the courage when everybody comes, we are not going to single you out. But when you come up here, when everybody else comes, whether it's here or there or wherever, and if you start to cry out to God, I need the freedom, I need the fire, you will not cry out alone. Not in this church. It will never happen. But you must acknowledge with me today that there's some things that only God can do. And you have to come to him with that kind of resolve. Jesus, I've got to have freedom. I've got to have fire. It's the only thing that will work for me. Would you stand and bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus, today, I want to lead this congregation in a simple prayer of repentance. Forgive me that I've tried everything, but I haven't tried you. Forgive me because I've trusted in so many other solutions more than I've trusted in you. Forgive me, Lord. I know, Jesus, it's not a sin to go to the doctor. I know, Jesus, it's not a sin to go to the therapist. But God, I do fear there have been times I have sinned when you gave me an opportunity to cry out at you at an altar. I pretended I was so busy. I pretended I was so preoccupied. I pretended I had so many responsibilities. But God, I'm asking you today to forgive me. And if Pastor will just give me one more opportunity to cry out to you, if Pastor will give me one more invitation to the altar, I'm coming to that altar with my shoulders squared, with my head held high, and I'm coming with the conviction. Freedom and fire is exactly what I need. Freedom and fire is what my family needs. Freedom and fire is what my kids need. Freedom and fire is what my marriage needs. Freedom and fire is what my church needs. And you have promised me that you came to baptize me with the Holy Ghost and fire. In Jesus' name, empty me, God, of everything that keeps me from the Holy Ghost and fire. Forgive me, God, of anything that keeps me from the Holy Ghost and fire. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, is there anybody that would join these that are already at this altar and you would come and you would cry out for the Holy Ghost and fire? Is there anybody that would join these that are already praying and you would come and you would say, today's my day for the Holy Ghost and fire. Today's my day to be free. Today's my day to be free, because freedom and fire works. Freedom and fire works. Come on, everybody's welcome to come. If you've got a need in your life, the Holy Ghost and fire is what you need today. If you've been asking, oh, I wish Pastor would take time to see about my need. I wish he knew how bad I'm hurting right now. I beg you, I know we can talk, I know we can meet, but the Holy Ghost and fire.